ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Krakow. Now we have about a 1 hour journey to reach Oświęcim town. Oświęcim, not Auschwitz. Auschwitz is a name which was given during the war, so it's like a German.
I just think it's going to be really, really hard to deal with, and it's just going to reveal everything that you hear about, but you can't actually kind of relate to it unless you go there, so I don't actually know what to expect.
I've heard a lot about Auschwitz, and it's quite well publicised, and obviously the facts and figures are there for everybody to see, but it will be quite sober and it will be quite good in that respect then, so yeah, really looking forward to it.
Tom Jackson, I'm Education Officer at the Holocaust Educational Trust. First of all, we will make a brief 30-40 minute stop in the Polish town of Oświęcim, which was renamed Auschwitz by the Nazis, where 58% of the town before the war was Jewish, and after the war there were no Jews in Oświęcim. From there we move on only about a mile or so, less than a mile, to the camp Auschwitz I, a former Polish military barracks then used as a prison camp by the Nazis. And from there we go on to the purpose-built extermination camp of Auschwitz II, Birkenau.
Hi, I'm Shannon James and I'm from Kolexiga. It's really important to see that all these people buried here were from here and that this is their hometown, that they were all people who made jobs for themselves, made families, and how that this is the only way that they're going to be remembered, because you can never get their bodies back. They'll never have proper burials.
Auschwitz used to play two roles. It was the state institution, place of imprisonment, and Auschwitz, top secret place of the mass extermination of Jewish people. Means gas chambers, crematoria, we'll be talking about. It was a top secret and...
Alan Elworthy, our school governor, Blin, just decided to sketch all of the things that catch my eye. Mostly buildings, really, because I think that buildings hide a lot more things than objects can. And with all the feelings and emotions that have happened in all these places, it's quite difficult to not express your feelings through drawing buildings and things like that. The emotion that I felt while seeing a lot of the things has changed my pictures throughout the day. But then when I go home and look at that, I'll be able to remember how I felt when I was drawing it, which is why I chose to draw pictures instead of taking pictures with my camera.
You can see new arrivals, and you can see SS soldier, probably physician, but up to the end we don't know. And this man, his hand is short.
Dan Hoskin from Kolexiga.
I'm Faith from Uskol Gofynnamlen. Yeah, I think you're really bombarded with information when you come in, so it's kind of hard to make it all go through your head, but it's so different to how I imagined it before.
When people talk about the Holocaust, you know, the image that comes to mind, the main building in Birkenau where the railway carts come through, and you don't really realise how many barracks and things and where people lived and the personal lives that they had. And I think when that becomes more realistic to you, you begin to grasp kind of how big a scale of an operation it was and how kind of well organised and how horrific that was to kind of have a production line of mass murder kind of thing.
On the one hand, you are going to see the victims as the Nazis wanted you to see them. Actually, they didn't want you to see them at all, actually, but if you were going to, it's as a collection of belongings. Things that can be exploited, things that can be...
Seeing the little children's clothing, the human hair, the tons of human hair that was there, and you just see little bits that, you know, they're from one person and it's just beyond anything.
Just imagine that person going through things that the Nazi SS would have made them do, so strip down, go into the gas chamber, just think of one person rather than a lot of people. It makes it seem a lot more real to you.
Do you actually start to humanise everybody and actually realise people are real? And then you go down to the gas chambers, and our leader told us that the people were stripped before they went in there, and being here today and it's so cold, and then you realise that they're so like dehumanised, and it's just beyond anything you can imagine. And I can't even explain that, going into the gas chambers, you can't rationalise in your head that you're somewhere where hundreds of people were killed for